On first down, Daniels goes back. He lets it fly. It's intercepted. It's intercepted by Blankenship. I believe he caught it.
Yes.
You know, he has had a knack for those. I believe all this year
that
have been fourth
awesome.
Quarter, right? Haven't they all been the sliding fourth quarter kind of seal the game
similar.
Up kind of interception?
Yeah. Maybe. I love that call, though. I believe he caught it. Yes.
Well, because
it was really good.
He didn't look very sure because I think he got he wasn't sure if he could keep going
well,
or
totally.
Not, so he kind of stopped.
Uh-huh.
James,
and the players came up and held him on the ground. Yeah. Hey, just stay down, stay down. You don't want to fumble it back.
James, tell me if this analogy works. Reed Blankenship's interceptions are like Nick Castellanos' 2022 catches in the playoffs. He slides in.
Yeah.
They're in pivotal moments.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And
I
he gets
that's
it.
Good.
Hey, it's like
that's
the
good.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Did,
minus
let me give
the,
you
know, maybe slightly lower stakes, but pretty big stakes. Yeah.
Let me give you another analogy.
Yes, sir.
Last night's game felt like the Sixers game the night before, but we were the Cavs. We, and I hate to say it, you know, the Cavs, the better team, let it go a little too long. And when it was all said and done, Donovan Mitchell came out, sunk about, I don't know, three or four threes to put the game away
here's
when
where,
it mattered.
Here's why I don't like that analogy. The team the Sixers fielded in that game, which was nobody, I think Washington's better than that squad. You know what I mean?
You're right. The circumstances with the injuries
and
everything else.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically Jared McCain versus the entire Cavs team a couple days ago.
You're right.
All right, let's get a NovaCare rehabilitation injury report. Of course, we give away a pair of tickets prior to every Eagles game, courtesy of NovaCare rehabilitation. We love the NovaCare rehabilitation injury report because we get an assessment of what happened in the prior game. Dr. Megan Bishop is with us today, an orthopedic surgeon with Rothman Orthopedic in Washington Township and Marlton. She specializes in knees, shoulders, and elbows. She's also the assistant team doctor for the Phils and the head doctor for Drexel. Let's welcome her right now, Dr. Megan Bishop. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure, particularly with an 8-2 football team. We like this quite a bit. All right, so let's get to the big one last night. And I guess in the end, maybe it turned out to be not the big one, but it certainly felt in the moment like, uh-oh, with Jalen. Megan, what goes into those protocol checks? How extensive are they? What do you know about what an athlete or non-athlete is run through in order to determine if a concussion occurred or not?
Well, anytime an athlete goes down hard on the field, or especially a quarterback has a potential head injury, the way Jalen's helmet hit the ground after that play, people are going to be on high alert for concussion. So I think just based on the impact of that, it was a little bit slow getting up. It was in due diligence stuff to bring him over and at least give him a quick sideline test for a concussion. If there's any kind of concerns that come out of that quick sideline assessment, they're going to be bringing him back to the locker room to undergo more extensive testing.
And it did not get to that point, correct, Doc?
You know, it didn't look like it did. You know, he jogged back to the locker room immediately after coming out of the tent getting assessed. And
so
they certainly could have, it was halftime, so they certainly could have been testing him more further during halftime. But he obviously came back to play, and it didn't seem like he had any further effects from the hit.
Was that troubling to you in any way, the way that he phrased it? I guess I beat the protocol. Is that something like a red flag for medical professionals as they're administering this protocol?
I mean, I think that is a strange way to word it. I don't know that Jalen necessarily meant it that way. I think the more correct way would be that he passed the protocol.
Yeah.
I think it would be very hard for an athlete that truly had a concussion to beat the protocol, as they wouldn't be able to pass the testing with the types of assessments that they make them.
I will say,
is that protocol the same as it's always been, Doc, where it's sort of count backwards from 10? Is it always the same questions being asked in this protocol?
So there's a number of different protocols that are out there, but the NFL has a standardized protocol that they would make them undergo on the sideline. So, you know, that's part of it. You know, there's a number of different questions and assessments that they would make them undergo to be able to assess if he had a concussion.
Yeah. So if it's standardized, is it the same every time?
Well, it should be. The initial assessment should be the same.
That's what makes me think beat
the
protocol.
You're wondering if they know how to beat it, John.
Yeah.
Is that what you think?
Do they know how to beat the protocol because it's the same every time?
But I will say, Jalen is not an elaborative guy with many of his answers in press conferences. He doesn't like to talk about injuries.
Right.
So I read less into it than you're inferring. I mean, you could be right, John, but I just think he doesn't like talking about it and want it to move on. Would be my guess.
Possible.
By the way, Dr. Bishop, it's certainly come a long way. I remember Al Golden, the former Temple coach, who, of course, played football, telling me that in his days of playing at Penn State, it was, how many fingers am I holding up? So it's come a long way from that. All right, let's talk about Landon Dickerson.
Yeah.
So that was, it seemed like maybe a big one. Turned out, I guess, not on that one. His leg got rolled up. What did you make of that? And what, you know, Eagles don't play for nine more days now. He finished the game, probably will be good to go. But what'd you make of that sequence?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best news was that he was able to walk off the field and he pretty much came right back in. So, you know, it doesn't look like anything was too serious with that injury. It was a little uncertain whether it was knee or his ankle, but Landon Dickerson does have a history of ACL reconstructions on both knees as well as ankle injuries in the past. So certainly we want to be cautious with that. But I think the best news was that he came right back in. So it couldn't have – likely was not anything too serious. I'd imagine he's probably going to undergo further evaluation today if he has any lingering effects. From, you know, the tweak of either the ankle or the knee or whatever lower extremity part was from that rollout.
Yeah, just do some squats on the sideline and it takes care of any high ankle sprain possibilities, I guess, Doc. So Milton Williams left the game and didn't come back. Is that the case? That should be cause for real worry, I guess. Right, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, they said that it looks like he went out with a foot injury. I'm not exactly sure what play that happened on, but, you know, it was enough that he wasn't going to be able to come back in that fourth quarter. So I'd imagine today he'd be getting any kind of further imaging and evaluation to figure out anything serious.
Yeah, that's important. He's probably one of their three or four best defensive linemen.
So he's been outstanding.
Yeah, that's pretty important. Hey, Dr. Bishop, we appreciate you joining the program today. To everyone listening, of course, you can get more information on Dr. Bishop at RothmanOrtho.com. That website, RothmanOrtho.com. And, Doc, good luck to Drexel as you attend to them this year. And, of course, the Phils when you're back with them in the 2025 season. Thanks so much for being a big part of the show today, Doc. We appreciate it.
Great. Thanks for having me. Go Birds.
Thanks,
you
got Doc.
It. John, how many times, you have any idea how many times you were checked for a concussion, how many times you were told you have a concussion?
Great question.
And question three.
I was told I had a concussion
how many times?
Once.
Wow.
And then I never told them after that.
Again.
I was held out of a game. My senior year in high school, I was held out of a game that prevented me from getting 2,000 yards. And I never again went to the trainer to tell them I was feeling, you know, sick from a hit or, you know, that I couldn't see straight or any of that stuff.
Do you have any, and you probably don't, any sense of how many times you pushed aside potential symptoms or
thousands,
symptoms?
Thousands.
Wow.
Realistically, we're told now that it's, and I don't want to get into all that, but we're told now that if you see stars, there was something that, you know, happened that you did some damage. I saw stars after every single play my whole life. So what does that mean? In the grand scheme, it was I was loving what I did. And I can't imagine knowing what I know now that I would do it again.
That's wild. Yeah. That's sad. I mean, obviously, that's a bit sad. 215-592-9494. So I guess Milton Williams is the big one moving forward. We'll see what happens there. I didn't even know in the game he had left. I don't remember that being said by the announcers.
I think it was fourth quarter, maybe.
It was late.
Well, that's good. I mean, hopefully it was one of those keep him out with a lead. But it was still fairly – I mean, look, who knows? I don't know exactly what play. But foots can be tricky sometimes. I mean, I remember Hollis
one
time.
For a big guy, a foot is really tough.
James, you remember when Hollis, like, didn't he break his foot coming out for a playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
Like in the introductions or something? He like ran out and couldn't play. It was weird. Anyway.
Hurts under center. He goes with a pitch to Barkley. Barkley across the 30. 25, 20, 15, 10. Goodbye!
Hello.
Another one.
Hello. Hello.
40 yards.
He's unbelievable.
I like when Mike does that hello thing.
Hello.
It's a way to not step on the play-by-play announcer, in this case, Merrill. Like, Merrill still gets to make the call, but Mike comes in with the enthusiasm to signify something. It's a nice job by an analyst. You know what he's thinking, but he's not talking over too much the play-by-play guy. Good stuff there, Merrill and Mike.
That was an incredible job of joy it by was. Saquon. Saquon,
oh,
have you
dude.
Seen
when he ran?
Have you seen
line?
A player that thrilled to be a player?
Well, no.
I've
that's
never
a good
said,
question.
That was such a cool moment
yeah, that's a
for
good point.
That reason alone. He was. It encapsulated. The joy, for lack
well,
of a better
and getting
word,
his
of
joy
being
and confidence
here,
back.
It, yes, being here yeah. with this team, with this line, with this outlook. Think of
right.
the trap yeah. that he was painted into a corner for all those years, just no way out.
No shot.
Now all of a sudden, they're handing him the ball, and he's got green grass, yeah. and he's yeah. got a team that's 8-2 and a chance at greatness.
Yeah, glory. No, they got a real shot at glory. No, John, that's a good assessment, because when he ran to the bench, that was really
so
cool.
Beautiful.
All right, Saquon obviously will factor into the Bed of the Bone Award. It's just a matter of who picks him. Coming up in the next couple minutes when we get to the Bed of the Bone, who will obviously not be picked for Bed of the Bone today is Jake Elliott. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni.
I think ouch, that's an Joe. Understatement.
Is that a fair way to put it?
Wow. He gets the bad part
yeah.
today.
This is like the all-time worst performance you can imagine.
Oh, his worst.
For any
far.
Player.
Probably
he did the worst you could do.
Well,
he did everything wrong.
Well, he made two and a couple extra points, but he missed three. He missed two field
left
goals
7 points
and an extra point. Yeah. Let's listen to Sirianni after the game. I'll tell you this. I'm really not worried about Jake Elliott because he's been so good for so long. But Sirianni after the game obviously was going to be asked. Here's what Nick said about his kicker.
Jake has been so consistent.
Not that well, one.
Sorry. My fault.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yep. We'll get
to Sirianni.
How
do you go over to Jake Elliott when he was having his troubles? What'd you say to him?
I mean, Jake's been so clutch his entire career and his entire time that I've been here too. And just like I would say to somebody that fumbled or dropped a pass in a moment, you know, we believe in you. You're going to have to make a kick to help us win this football game. And, you know, he did to get us up that 16 points and 8 points or whatever it was. But, you know, we have so much faith in him. And, you know, that's what you do when the connection happens. I think connections happen when you can really build connections through tough times, right? And so obviously he was going through a tough time, but you know this team believes so much in Jake Elliott, you know, because of his track record and who he is and the teammate he is, the captain he is, and just wanted to let him know that we all believed in him and can't wait for him to get his opportunity to go out and do it again.
You know, I've long thought that Sirianni's messaging is rooted in a lot of wisdom. And the only thing I worried about coming into this year after last year with him, not the only thing, but the main thing, was if the messaging had grown stale. It clearly hasn't. I think Sirianni's got a nice touch with stuff like that. Look, we'll find out. I mean, you worry about, you know, a golfer with a putter. You worry about a closer in baseball. You worry about a kicker in football. Like, do you start
and the
getting,
yips in general in any
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, the yips in
yeah.
general. You know, Markelle Fultz.
Chuck
Knoblauch. That's right. So I'm not there with Elliott. But look, all of our antennas are up. How can it not be? It was three misses in one night.
It's possible that we should be alerted.
It's possible. No, it's
possible. It's possible with a kicker that they just lose confidence. And when that happens, they can kick differently. Like, they can lose it.
It can be
halfway through a season. He can look like a completely different kicker.
I've seen it.
That occurs, You need to take action.
Yeah, and they're not there yet.
You go and you find someone who can make the kicks, who believes they can make the kicks.
Yeah.
If Jake doesn't believe he can make it, if he has any doubt, that's a real problem.
I'll tell you this, John. If it got to that point, and I tend to think it won't, but if it did, I think they'd deactivate him, not cut him. Because
they just signed him to that extension, too.
Yeah, he's been too good for too long to just cast aside. But listen, sometimes you need those step backs. It's clearly not there yet. All right, let's get some calls in. Bad of the Bone shortly. Elliott and Dick Vermeil both with us in the next 40 minutes. Joe in Mayfair right now. Joe, good morning. Your reaction to last night?
Hey, good morning. I'm very happy to be a fan of an 8-2 team that just does everything and can to win. But, Joe, you are a hypocrite. And I love you to death, but you're a hypocrite.
Okay.
Yes,
on.
You can say that Jalen Hurts can play three quarters of average football and make great plays in the fourth quarter, and he's just a couple plays. But when Saquon Barkley does it last night, he's God. You can't have it both ways.
Well, a couple things.
Barkley
point.
Was an average running back last night, and in the fourth quarter, he made a couple of big plays, and so did Kenny Gainwell.
Looked to me like Washington was stacking the line to stop Saquon. I don't know that for sure without reviewing film.
But you have excuses for other players, but it's not Jalen's fault that Becton had a holding call.
No, no question.
The flea flicker was a complete debacle. You have two all-star, all-pro running receivers colliding to each other at the goal line.
Oh, well, that's, yeah.
And drop passes, yeah. The dots and drop is bad.
The first two drives, but they're all his fault, too. He had three bad throws the entire night and made good decisions with the football.
Well, it's the miss. But, Joe, here's my biggest thing with Jalen, and it always has been on the negative side.
Yep.
It's the throws he doesn't make that I think are available.
And you, that happens to every
quarterback. No, but I think it happens. But I think it happens more to him than most good ones.
Wow.
Because you watch the Eagles games more than any other game, Joe. Yep. So you're going to notice that.
That's exactly right.
I watch all the games, Joe. Every quarterback has missed throws. Every receiver is going to throw up their arms in the air saying, "I was open."
Every
quarterbacks
single
can't look at
team.
The whole field every play.
Yep.
Yeah, you and back. I see it different, Joe. I understand your point.
Listen,
I understand your point, but I think it's more problematic than you're alluding to.
You know, he's 18 for 28. If you just prorate that with nine more throws, he is 24 for 37 for 299. The problem is the Eagles are a running team, and Hurts and Barkley have 90 first downs rushing the football in the NFL. The Eagles lead the league in first downs rushing with 104.
No, it's great that he's gotten back to running effectively. And Joe, good call. It's a huge step. I mean, the Jalen turning it back up running the ball has been a big step, a big, big step for him in the last month or so. All right, let's do what we do every single, well, normally Monday, but in this case Friday. Basically, our first show after a game, we crank up the Bad of the Bone Award. So we haven't had a blame ball edition for about a month and a half now. Six-game winning streak. It's a game ball edition. Devin, I believe this might be the first time that you've ever been in the Bat of the Bone Award.
No, I've been in it before.
Last year?
Last year, and then for the Phillies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was that the bad version?
Second, yeah, it was the bad version.
Oh, no.
So I'm happy we get to do a positive version.
All right. So Richie always, you know, it's... he always gets the easy one because he gets to go first. John Richie.
He's our Kyle Schwarber.
All right, John,
I'll take that.
Five game balls handed out today. Who you giving a game?
Was meant as a compliment, John.
Yeah.
Who you giving a game ball to today? Bat of the Bone Award, John, who do you got?
I feel like I give it to this guy most weeks. Saquon Barkley is my favorite player. He's the best running back we've ever seen in Philadelphia, and that really does say a lot. In terms of some of the backs here, my gosh, growing up on Wilbert having a chance to play alongside Brian Westbrook, it says a lot. And Saquon continues. Last night he was 2 yards shy of 200 total yards. He's doing it, catching the ball, checking it down, getting what's there. And the joy that he's playing with, it feels like it's special to him too, which makes me appreciate it even more.
Yeah, no, it's a good call. Devin, who do you got for Bat of the Bone Award?
I got to go with a guy who I hope Howie extends like right now, and that is Zach Bond. I mean, he was all over the field. He made some crucial plays, 15 tackles, fourth down stops, pass deflection.
He's just become such
an unsung hero in this defense. And I also love, I don't know if you've seen his comments about just playing here in Philadelphia. He feels like he kind of has this renewed sense of teammates and family in this team. And Saquon Barkley actually made similar comments, but it just shows how close these guys are. And I think Zach Bond is a really great leader on and off the field for that defense.
Seltzer, who do you got for a game ball?
So my top two are still on the board, and I know that Rhea's going to take one of them, so I know for a fact that that's who she's going to take, so I'm going to leave it for her. I'll take my top two.
Yep.
I'm not joking when I say this. I was thinking about it a lot last night. Quinyon Mitchell is the best Eagles rookie I've ever seen in my life. Period. He is the best I've ever seen. The numbers on Quinyon against number one receivers, I don't know if you guys have seen this ready. Like, this is insane. All right, just quick. Drake London, one catch, 5 yards. Chris Olave, 2 for 23. Mike Evans, 2 for 19. Amari Cooper, 1 for 10. Malik Nabers, 1 for 9. Jamar Chase, 2 for 19. CeeDee Lamb, 1 for 5. Terry McLaurin, 0 for 0. Like, this dude is a freaking stud.
Yeah, he is. And I'll say this. Let's hope it doesn't fall off the way Jalen Carter did last year in season, because Jalen had a similar start last year and then faded in the end. But
not as good as that.
Probably not as good. I agree with you. And I'll tell you this, James. I think your instincts are right. I think he is the best rookie. To me, the ones that stand out, Carter last year, Keith Jackson, 88.
Eric Allen.
Quinn Mach. I don't even know as much about
Eric. I think Quinyon's better.
Oh, as a rookie, he might be. He's been unbelievable. All right, Rhea, game ball, bat of the bone award. Who are you giving it to?
I'm accepting no slander of Jalen Carter this morning there.
Oh, and that,
I knew it. That was my. Those are my top two last
night. So he played all 66 snaps, seven tackles. He was a beast. I don't know if you guys noticed, but on that failed fourth down play by Washington, they bobbled the snap because Jalen Carter was already across the line. Like the minute it was, he was absolutely, completely disruptive last
You know,
night.
I actually thought, and I could be wrong because I couldn't rewind it where I was watching the game, but I thought maybe it was all sides by Washington and not blown dead by the refs because it looked like the snap was late and a guard might have moved. But anyway,
he was definitely moving. But I mean, it was literally, I think they were so afraid of Carter coming across
them.
The line.
He was unbelievable. Yep. All right, so I got two names left. I mean, there's a bunch of people you could give a game ball to. I got two names left. I'll give honorable mention to Sirianni, but he doesn't get the game ball.
Jalen Hurts, are you giving it to Jalen Hurts?
No, I'm not giving
it to Jalen. What an upset that would be if you turned around.
Would that be great? As it relates to last night, but also the six-game winning streak, I'm giving it to Vic Fangio.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize the Eagles have better defensive players than last year, namely Quinyon and Cooper DeJean. Jalen Carter playing better than he did down
and
the
Bond,
stretch.
Obviously.
And Bond. And N'Kobe Dean.
Both.
Okay? All of that. However, you just get a feeling sometimes as a fan without knowing every element of X's and O's. And I certainly had this feeling with Larry Brown in 01. You just get a feeling that the sum of the parts are greater than the individual parts because a coach helps lead them there. And that's what I sense is going on with Vic Fangio. I still don't think the Eagles have a tremendous pass rush, but it's working. And I got to give that guy a lot of credit, man. I mean, he's seen a lot in the NFL. He goes back to the USFL 40 years ago here in Philly. And he has made, I believe, a monumental difference for this team. And hopefully we'll be here for a long time. I don't think he's, you know, I say a long time, 3 to 6 years. You know, however much longer he wants to coach. I don't think he's ever going to be a head coach again. And he's talked about he wants this to be his last stop. So hopefully he saddles up for the next half a decade and is the guy.
Can you imagine?
Oh, it's great. Well, he doesn't want to leave his Phillies, man.
Well, that's part of it.
That's so cool. And, you know, Jim Johnson was the defensive coordinator when I was playing for Andy.
Of course.
And I don't want to say it's a similar everyone's got a unique situation, of course. But he was in a spot where everyone admired him. He was totally content being here, being the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles. There was no expectation of upward mobility.
He got pursued time. San Fran came hard after him, and I believe the Eagles paid him a lot more money, and he stayed. San Fran around 02, maybe it was after Mariucci.
Everyone should have been coming after him hard, but there was an understanding. You know, he was satisfied. He was happy here, and it's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, it's great.
If Vic, and it feels like Vic is in the same spot. I don't know. I can't speak for him, but that really does feel comforting because he really is that good.
No, it's good stuff. All right, Elliot Sherparks.
Can we also just give a baby game ball to Grant Calcaterra for that one play? Just 100%. A baby game ball? Like, what a play?
Huge.
What a heads-up play?
Huge play. All right, Elliot joins us coming up in about 2 minutes on a big Friday here from Borgata. Dick Vermeil at 8 o'clock. By the way, Ray Dittinger, who's normally with us in the 7 o'clock hour on a Monday, is going to join us at 8:30 today. Seth Joyner, who's normally with us at 9 o'clock on a Monday, is going to join us today at 9 o'clock. So we got a lot of stuff. Let's get some calls in here as well. Elliot Shortley, Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning, team. How you doing today?
Doing well, Chuck.
Doing great, Chuck. Excited, man.
Great game yesterday. Listen, I want to say this. Sean Desai, you can have Sean Desai, you can have Jonathan Gannon. But, you know, until you actually see the mastermind in his defense, the godfather, Vic Fangio, you know, now you're saying something. You know what I mean? You see the difference, you know what I mean, and with the guy that actually created this defense, you know what I mean, and what these guys are doing. He's doing a fantastic job over there on the defensive end. Quinyon Mitchell, I love him. I love him. I love the guy.
He's amazing.
Man, he's the best cornerback since Eric Allen. I was a guy I loved Troy Vincent. I was a Troy Vincent fan, huge Troy Vincent fan. But, I mean, this guy is light years ahead of his time right now. And I feel so confident going up against any wide receiver that we play because we got him. You can take the rookie title off of him. He's just a number one shutdown corner. And I think the world of kid.
He looks, Chuck, like an all-pro for years to come. And I hate to say it because this might be too soon. I don't know all the corners. Maybe as soon as this year.
Totally.
I thought maybe he's an all-pro rookie corner.
They could have three all-pros when I was watching. Bond, Carter, and Quinion are all, like, playing it at all-pro level if they can keep it up through the rest
plus
of the season.
Plus Saquon and AJ.
Yeah, I was talking just on the defense.
Listen, I think we'll catch Detroit. I mean, you know, I'm not really impressed with Jalen's game yesterday. I mean, he made some big throws. I mean, I just wish he can just get started earlier. I mean, we got a defense now. You know, I mean, this defense, I side with Joe on this. I mean, I just really think this guy, if he can get started earlier, we'd be smoking these teams. I mean, really, it wouldn't even be a competition, you know what I mean? But, you know, he made enough plays to win the football game, but Saquon took us home once again. You know, and he should be really up for MVP.
He really should be. Yeah, he really should.
Lamar Jackson doesn't need three MVP, and I like Lamar.
No, you shouldn't vote against Lamar for that. But the bottom line is Saquon should certainly be in the top three or four. That whatever that grouping is, Lamar, probably Mahomes, Saquon. Like, there's no question Saquon deserves to be dramatically considered at this moment for MVP. All right, Chuck, good call, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. The poll question, who wins tonight's fight? I don't know why it's on a Friday, but it is. Jake Paul or Mike Tyson? It's weird to even put Jake Paul's name before Mike Tyson, but we put these things in alphabetical order, so P before T. But I hope T beats P tonight. Let's put it that way. But
there's no way this guy can beat Mike Tyson.
It's a stamina issue. As long as Tyson has the stamina. Like, if I'm Jake Paul, I'm chilling back a little bit to see if Mike Tyson, and, you know, near the age of 60, can...
Right. Well, but that's the thing that I can't get over. Can we talk about how it's like a kid essentially, like, fighting a 60-year-old man?
Well, that's why,
like,
it's
if you're Jake Paul,
absurd.
How do you not have some problem with that? I don't know. It's just
Well, but
wild.
The other guy's one
lots
of the three
and
or four best
of money,
of all time.
Devin, I believe, is the answer.
Yep. Yes, very good.
All right, let's talk to Elliot the day after a game and an awful lot going in. Eagles have, we should, you know, say, kind of one of those mini buys. Where now they don't have to play for 9 days, which is good, and they ride a 6-game winning streak, which is great. They're 2.5 games up for first place in the NFC, which is fantastic, and they're nipping on the heels of the Detroit Lions for the one seed in the NFC. Elliot with us every Friday at this time. Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, man. Very, very excited. So, Elliot, let me lay out for you and everyone listening what I said to start the show. John, Devin, and James in particular did not like it. I'll tell you what I feel. And tell me if you think this is inbounds or out of bounds, because it skews both positive and negative simultaneously. Here's where I'm at with this team, particularly after watching last night, Elliot. I think the vast majority of the team is Super Bowl worthy, ready. Running back, wide receivers, tight end, offensive line, defense, coaching staff. My concern is whether Jalen holds them back from getting there. What is your assessment of that comment as it pertains to last night and, you know, what we've seen this season?
Yeah, I think if you just look at last night, I think it's an inbounds comment. I don't completely agree with it, but I don't think you're, like, crazy to feel that way. Watching the game last night, and I'm excited to rewatch it, but watching it live last night, it really felt like he missed a lot of open receivers. And we can sit here, and I think there's truth to it. Like, they won the game. He didn't make the big turnover. He does win all the time. All those things are true, and that's why I would probably skew a little more towards the other side, because I think when push comes to shove, I probably won't pick against them because of Jalen. Like, when they play the Lions or these other teams, I think they've proven that they can beat the caliber of that team with Jalen at quarterback, because they've done it. Like, they have beaten those teams. But it just isn't a good thing that receivers are running wide open around the field, and he's not getting the ball to them. I mean, Devontae a few times last night, wide open. AJ down the sideline, wide open. And it the ball needs to get to him. Like, they pay those receivers big time money. They don't throw it a lot. It's an easier way to get yards than have him run the ball. So I definitely think your comment is inbound. I still think they're a team that can absolutely win the Super Bowl with him at quarterback.
Elliot, let me get to Saquon, because we all just marvel. It's so beyond. It's like Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl. It's like Bo Jackson and actually the NFL. It's ridiculous. Is he the best offensive player that you have ever seen the Eagles have? Put another way, is he a better football player than T.O. at his best, Donovan at his best, all of them that we've seen over the last, let's say, 30 to 40 years that we've seen the Eagles have?
I mean, man, T.O. was pretty amazing. But, look, he's certainly more impressive to watch than Donovan. Like, Donovan accomplished more, but I think, in my lifetime of watching Eagles, like, it's T.O., Saquon, and then probably a gap. You know, I say this
I agree.
All the time on the pod. Like, David Gettleman got mocked for saying that Saquon's been touched by the hand of God thing, but he's not wrong. Like, it was dumb of them to take him, but you watch this guy, and just the way he moves, like, at his size, that's what really is marvelous to me about watching him, is, like, the fact he can move that way, and he's not a small running back. Like, when he gets in the open field, I don't know how you bring him down. I thought the two touchdowns last night, he makes them look easy, and they were blocked well. But mm-hmm. the first one, to take that angle and get to the pylon so effortlessly, like, it did not look like it was a clear path to the pylon, but he makes it look easy. And that second one, you know, he's just gone once he's in the open field. So, yeah, I mean, he's definitely the best running back I've ever watched. And when you talk about all-time impressive Eagles, like, it's T.O. and it's Saquon to me.
The offensive line, the Jeff Stoutland plan, everything seemed like it worked swimmingly yesterday. What else does this offense need to improve on?
I think it's Jalen. I think that's kind of it. Like, I think Jalen this season, you know, didn't get off to the best start. I thought he had a long stretch there in the middle, like three or four games where he played at a really high level, but you know, I think the last two or three games, he's regressed a little bit. Like, he just isn't playing as well as he was coming out of the bye, in my opinion. Now, again, doesn't mean they can't win. Like, they are certainly the best team in the division. They're definitely the second best team in the conference. But if you want to say, what can they get better at? Mm-hmm. The passing game is not clicking at a high level right now.
It feels like that's the easy target.
Yeah, no, I think it's the right answer. Elliot,
well,
the
I think it's the correct target.
Yeah, I know, yeah, for sure. For sure. Elliot, the defense. So, obviously, parts are better. Guys like Quinyon weren't here last year. But can you quantify the Vic Fangio thing and his imprint and the improvement of this squad and what you sense Fangio's level of, I'll say, greatness has been?
Yeah, I would just say the best way to put it is maybe is how embarrassed does Matt Patricia have to feel watching this? like I know that there are better players, but to be fair, like, the reason the players look better is also because of coaching. Like, they are just...
Yeah, Reed Blankenship's still out there. I mean, he's the same guy. Maybe he got a little better, but he didn't get 10 times faster, and he was getting burned every game last year, and this year he never gets burned.
I mean, you could argue Patricia had a better pass rush. He at least had Hassan Reddick, right?
Sure.
But I think what's so the ultimate compliment I can give to the defense of Vic Fangio is the offense has all the stars, right? All the big time players, the Pro Bowl guys, the All Pro guys, and the defense is certainly earning those recognitions, right? But the defense is mostly comprised of players nobody believed in. Like, almost everyone on that defense fell in the draft more than they were supposed to. None of them are like big time contract guys, besides Darius Slay at this point of his career, I guess. But Fangio has taken a unit of players that, for the most part, like, nobody thought were going to be this good, and he has turned them into an absolute powerhouse. And they've done it by playing together. Like, the offense makes individual plays at times, right? Like, AJ will do something special. Saquon will. The defense does it together, and it's, like, truly, truly admirable to watch the way that they're playing.
So, last night, Brandon Graham, Josh Sweat, Nolan Smith, they all got on the board with sacks. Does it feel like things are, I don't know, turning in the right direction on that front? Do we need more help? Are we good enough as a defensive line to get where we want to go?
And I'll add this, Elliot. Can Nolan Smith start being relied upon? Like, is he there yet?
So he's getting there, but I think the thing we underestimated with the defensive line is that when you have this back seven, you don't need, like, a Za'Darius Smith or somebody like that. I mean, a lot of the sacks they got, I thought, were covered sacks, where there is just nobody to throw the ball to, and Jayden Daniels is back there for, you know, 3.5-4 seconds. And, yeah, they can do that. Now, again, do I think in a big game, like, do I trust one of them to make a big play? I'm not there yet with the defensive line, but I am there with the back seven. And if the back seven is playing at such a high level, yeah, the defensive line can do it. It's kind of the reverse of what we've always seen with this Eagles team, which is a great line that makes everyone else better. Mm-hmm. Now I think everyone else makes the line better.
Elliot, let's go from Elliot to Elliot. How did Jake Elliott handle it postgame last night?
Yeah, I think he handled it how you would expect. I mean, he talked at his locker, right, which he never does because there's never anything to ask him. But he did talk, and he said he has to be better. He has to make the kicks. And I think that's really all you can say. Like, I don't know how complicated it is. He kicked the ball and he missed. Like, so I think that moving forward, if I was Nick, I would absolutely still coach the game the same way. I think he has earned that right, like with how well he has kicked in the past. You have to just hope he kicks his way out of it, because they are going to play in close games in the playoffs or in Baltimore in 2 weeks. Like, there will be close games, and you need Jake Elliott to kick at a high level. So I think you just have to keep showing faith in him and not let him know maybe the confidence is going away.
Elliott, did anyone talk about the temperature change being a possible, culprit for the kicks? You know, when it gets colder like that, the ball does kind of deflate, and it comes off your foot differently. Sometimes they end up swinging harder when the ball's less inflated. I'm not making excuses.
Well, I'll put this way, John. If that's true, he certainly didn't notice it and compensated after kick one. Because then there was kick two, and then there was kick three. Hey,
well,
Elliot,
he was inconsistent.
Elliot, let me tell everyone, by the way, no Beat the Hammer today. Now, obviously, this is right when I normally cruise to victory. And, of course, usually I cruise to victory and then the Eagles cruise to victory and I lead the way. In this case, the Eagles are leading the way. But because it's the day after an Eagles game, no Beat the Hammer. We want to keep the focus on the Eagles. But I will say, Beat the Hammer when we do it. Always brought to us by the great people at First Trust Bank, who encourage you to challenge your bank.
Elliot, how did Jordan Mailata make it through last night?
So I talked to him after the game, and physically, I think he felt really good. I don't think he came out of that. Obviously, we'll see how he feels today when you haven't played in a month. I'm sure he'll wake up probably a little more sore than he normally does. But, yeah, watching it live, I thought he played well. And credit to him, because I did not think going back to him for this specific game was an easy decision. Like, Fred Johnson was playing well. It was a short week, no true practice. You got 10 extra days if you sat him last night. And they put him out there in a big-time game against, an opponent, obviously, that's played at a high level. So I thought he played well last night, all things considered.
Elliot Shore Parks right now. Dick Vermeil joins us in 15 minutes on a football Friday with an 8-2 team as we broadcast from Borgata. Elliot, I want to get your assessment. Obviously, you were there. What you sensed from Jalen postgame, how he acted. I'm talking, obviously, concussion. But before that, let's give everyone listening, because I know a lot of people might have gone to bed and not heard all the press conferences. Let's get to the two questions asked to Jalen related to the concussion. We'll play them in order, both for fairly short answers. Let's start with the first of the two. Jalen Hurts asked about the concussion possibility.
Your head hit the turf a couple times during that first half. Were you feeling the effects at all?
No.
All right, so short and sweet. And then he's asked another question about, obviously, the concern of whether he'd had a concussion or what was going on. Here's that exchange.
Jalen, you had to be cleared from a concussion. Is there kind of a hold your breath moment when you're going through the evaluation thinking, because you just don't know how those things are going to go? How were you able to get through that moment?
I guess I beat the protocol.
Do you know how it happened?
I beat the protocol.
John didn't like his use of beat the protocol. That concerned John. I'm not that worried about it.
No, I'm not.
You just pointed worried. It out. Yeah, yeah. I guess you pointed it out. Yeah. But Elliot, obviously, you had access to him. His eyes, his body language. Did you notice anything off, or do you feel like he was basically the same normal guy?
He was literally the same normal guy. Yeah. I would have bet my life going into that press conference, his answers about those concussions would have been four words or less.
Totally.
Yeah, there was no shot he was going into detail about that.
Yeah.
So
he was more annoyed?
He never likes talking about injuries. That's not his thing. He really tries to avoid it.
Yeah, last week he was asked about the ankle after they just had a huge game in Dallas, and he basically was like, how did it look? So he just doesn't talk about it. It's just not what he does. And really the team, to be honest.
All right. Elliot, wonderful work, bud. We'll talk to you next week, obviously, as we reset everything. But the Eagles are in a beautiful spot right now, an 8-2. And I'll just say this, Elliot, and I know you're on this train. A lot of people still probably aren't. Sirianni deserves a lot of credit. I know he's got certain advantages here, how he gives them a really good roster. But, man, he was a punching bag a month ago, and he's got an 8-2 squad right now. It's very impressive.
Yeah, he should be in the Coach of the Year running. I don't think there's any question. He should be on the short list for Coach of the Year.
I agree with that.
Boy, wouldn't that be a turnaround? Holy man.
I mean, seriously, considering the start to the year, what he came off last year, the fact they're 8-2, like, he should be in the running.
I mean, how many coaches start the year on the hot seat? go 8-2 and aren't in the conversation.
That's a great point, man.
You're right. And they beat a good team. I mean, how good, I still don't quite know in Washington, but certainly better than the other dreck they played in recent weeks. So it was
considered good before the game.
I know they were. No, I know. Yeah. They were. I got you. All right, Elliot, wonderful work, pal. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man.
Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Dick Vermeil in about 10 minutes. Mike joins us right now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, gang. Happy Victory Friday, which we don't say very often. But
no, we don't.
That's a weird thing.
It is weird. Yeah.
You know what else is weird, Richie? It's what? Weird that we have a 1980s football team. We got a potential All-Pro at each level of the defense. We have the best running back in the league. I mean, I am so excited for this team. And you know what? Like, we've kind of talked about it a little bit. Look, Zach Bond gets all the love, completely deserving. I don't think we can understate or overstate the importance that Quinion has made to this defense. Like, we have a legit shutdown island corner, and the impact that has on the rest of the defense is just playing in front of our eyes. You know,
and Terry McLaurin's legit, Mike. We've seen that guy for half a decade now. He's a very good player.
He's not following Terry McLaurin around the field.
But he did a good amount.
They showed it on the broadcast. Yeah. There were like 17 or 18 routes that he ran with him, and he shut him down. There were zero targets when he was on him.
That's
zero.
Incredible. So capable. That they don't have to move the guys around. You got Slay on the one side.
Well, Slay's no slump.
You got him on the other side. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
They just play. You don't have to compensate for the young kid.
Bingo.
Which says so much. That's amazing.
And the trickle down effect of having that one lockdown corner, it's making Reed better because now Blankenship can fly around, make plays. Bond and Dean are just studs. I love every single game looking at the defensive stats, and the top two tackle leaders every week are linebackers. That's the way it's supposed to be. And Jalen Carter is a problem. That dude was in the backfield all
game long. He crushed them.
It's just, guys, man, if anyone had any doubts, I was already there. If anyone still has doubts that this is a Super Bowl contending team, a top three team in the NFL, then you don't know football.
They're definitely going to be knocking on the door of that. Mike, good call right there, man. So let's get back to the Zach Bond thing for a sec, because this is one of the most out of nowheres we've ever seen in Philly sports. I mean, most of us never heard of the guy before. So, James, the most out of nowhere, tremendous player in Philly sports since who? Ever?
Like
that guy you never heard of who had been in football. He'd been in the league.
This guy hasn't been as good, but in the league completely. I was thinking like Corey Clement the Super Bowl year out of nowhere.
But he was not as good as Bond.
What
makes this weird is he's supposed to be in the middle of his career. This is his fifth year, I
Bond
think.
Wasn't even doing this.
He was a backup.
But he wasn't playing
this position. Yeah.
He was playing edge and not good enough to play. So he was playing special teams. In New Orleans.
I have no idea who
he's
the most.
I'm trying to think, right? I mean, this guy's all pro. Like, he's all pro level right now. I remember when Billy Lino
went wild in the 2010 Stanley Cup.
I remember that.
Almost won the Stanley Cup for the Flyers against Chicago. And I was like, I never heard of this guy. And all of a sudden, he's scoring every game. I don't know. It's really...
I know he was originally a first-round pick, but the way they acquired Jason Worth kind of like
that. But he had pedigree.
The situation reminds me of,
I think Zach Bond is better, but of the TJ Edwards situation where I hope that Howie Roseman learned from that situation and he extends Zach Bond and keeps him rather than letting him walk.
I hope he does too. Here's where it gets fascinating. Does Howie say, well, it took a year, and that stunk to take a year, but I did pivot to another guy. Mm-hmm. I'll pivot to the next guy. If Zach Bond's offered $40 million, do they walk away? Probably, but I don't know. I mean, is it a learn the lesson, or is it the lesson that you can find the next guy? He's really good, man.
Yeah, I want to keep him. I don't want to find the next guy. I want to keep him.
Don't risk losing this player.
But you know what I'm saying, John. There's no track record that it's for sure they're going to lock him up. No track record.
Well, I'm certain. It's pretty straightforward.
They also have young guys who can, like, they have Trott Jr. They have those young linebackers who...
Only one more year for Nicobe. So,
if they don't sign him, we march on the Novikov.
Yes, I'm with you, Rick.
All right, let's listen to Sirianni. A couple things from Nick Sirianni. We'll get to, of course, Dick Vermeil joining us in about 5 minutes. So let's listen to Sirianni talking about Jalen, talking about the offense, talking about the team's response. This is about 2 minutes. It was interesting stuff after the game last night from the Eagles head coach.
Jalen Hurts was kind of off. He's like this. He was either holding the ball too long or it's just his timing was off. If there was anything wrong, was just holding the ball too long.
Well, I'll have to look at the tape. It's everybody that contributes to a slow start offensively. It's not just one person. This is a team game. It's always a team game, and it'll always be the team. And so I'll have to go back and look. What I'm proud of the offense, what they did tonight, is that, you know, they found a way. They found a way to continue to put points on the board, and to be able to stretch that game out. Obviously, the defense did a great job of holding a good offense down, but the offense just kept trying. It kept finding a way. We'll look at the tape. We'll see what happened. It wasn't a great start for us. It was ugly, but sometimes those ugly moments turn into, part of it's the run game was a little ugly, and it wasn't as clean. But then as the game progresses, I'm just so proud of the guys that they do truly have this dog mentality of like, all right, it's not going good. Well, what are you going to do about it, right? It's just you just all you can do is learn from what happened, and sometimes it's hard to learn from what happened within game because you don't know exactly sometimes what happened. But you put your head down and know that the only play that matters is next. And this is just such a resilient group that can really put bad plays behind them and move on. And they can put good plays behind them and move on. Like you said, when we went up, whatever, we were up 12-10, we get the stop. We go up 19-10. That was a good drive. We get another stop, or we get the pick by Reed, and we go score another touchdown. Like that is truly, it's so much easier said than done of how do you play the next play, but the guys did a good job of that.
What was it like at halftime from your perspective? So Jalen's getting checked for the concussion. Are you putting in contingency plans for Kenny at that point, making sure that Jalen's okay? What's that?
Yeah, I got information really early on. I think as I was going into the locker room that Jalen was going to be, he cleared. But really, what we talked about at halftime was that, hey, this is going to be a grimy, gritty game, and just keep going because we know we're grimy and gritty. We know that team's grimy and gritty. A lot of respect for them. But we just kept going, and that was the talk at halftime. Like, hey, it's a street fight. And we just got – it's not about who's tougher. It's about who's tougher longer. And we all said that to each other, and we went out, and I think they got points right away. Right, I think they got 3 points right away. But then, again, just great resilience by our guys.
I am extremely impressed by Nick Sirianni. He's got these guys playing hard. They have obviously made strategic adjustments, most notably running the ball on offense and whatever the combination of things Vic Fangio is doing on D.
And they are resilient.
They are resilient.
They are a resilient football team.
They are.
Man.
It's like Rocky, other than the start of Rocky III when he's knocking everybody out because Mick's got him playing all bump, fighting all bumps. Like, Rocky always wins late and tough, and his face has been hit 77,000 times in a fight, and he finds a way to win. And that's kind of what this team is, man. They fight.
Know who they are. Too.
Well, they do know
they
who they are.
They stuck with the run last night. Like, they could have easily abandoned it when every up-the-middle run isn't working, and they kept pounding it, man.
And I'll add this about Sirianni as it relates to, the two words that have been said a lot on our
show
today.
The offensive line reminded this coaching staff repeatedly to run the ball.
Sure did.
So do you give the offensive line credit
100%,
for that coaching?
100%.
But I also give Nick credit for listening to the offensive
100%,
line.
100%, because Chip didn't do that. So here's what I'll say about Nick as it relates to big picture in Philly sports. He's obviously been one of the five or six most criticized coaches in the last 30 or 40 years. No question. Kotite was in that grouping, but here's two guys that were. Kapler was in that grouping. So was Charlie, so was Doug. Early Doug and early Charlie. They were human punching bags, and so has Nick Sirianni been. And we know Charlie and Doug, one and all. Sirianni's got this team firing right now, really firing. And by the way, they're obviously headed to the playoffs, and it's going to be four straight years they make it under him. He is barring something horrendous moving forward. He's back for next year. All right, Dick Vermeil joins us shortly. Let's get to Dennis right now in Springfield. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I'll try to be quick. I know you got Dick coming on. A couple observations about last night. First of all, I want to shorten Reed Blankenship's name. I think we can remove the butt from after his name. Reed Blankenship butt. I mean, he made two back-to-back plays last night. I know
Vaughn gets credit for the tackle on that fourth down play, but he must have came 40 yards across the field.
He did.
And assisted on that
tackle. Yeah, he was forcing action.
Yep.
Forcing action that went, sometimes went the other way and someone else cleaned it up.
And then the very next series, Washington has the ball, he gets the pick. I mean, the guy's a football player. I mean, he may not be all the intangibles and all the numbers.
No, he's the intangibles. Dennis, what I think we
he's
all worried about last
he's
year,
the intangibles,
slow.
But slow.
That's what we worried about, and it has been a total non-issue this year. Total non-issue, him getting burned in coverage, and he's making plays. He has one of the players with one of the biggest jumps from last
year. You've got a coach, you've got a defensive coordinator who understands the players he has to work with, understands the limitations, and helps him out.
But it's still typically hard to hide a safety. That's not easy. And
you got a bunch of guys in that secondary. You got a bunch of new young guys who can run, really run.